On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Mark Spatavecchia, the San Francisco Giants organization. Mark, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
And thank you, Chris, for having me, too. So a little bit about myself. I'm the high A strength coach with the Giants, second year with this organization. My eighth year in baseball, I had 5 years with the Astros before, and then 1 year interning with the Brewers to start out.
So I want to get right into it, man. This past year, you were the strength coach of the year in the Cal League. So first and foremost, congrats to you. I've had a lot of strength coaches on here that have had that award. And I've mentioned every single time it's peer voted. So clearly you're doing something in the eyes of your peers, which goes a long way. So what is it that you're doing that makes you so successful?
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it meant a lot. We had a real group, good group of guys in the Cal League this year. So it meant a lot to be voted at for my peers. And I guess there's a couple of things. Honestly, I want to say one thing that helps is having a good weight room to share with the peers in the league. We have a very fortunate to have a good weight room out in the Cal League, and always got in touch with those guys and saw if they needed anything or had to use the weight room on some hours, especially if there's like travel that made it tough or whatnot, helping them get in there. And then I guess just the way caring about my business every day, being able to relate to the players, and help them stay confident in the weight room, out in the field, and show them that I care about them.
Yeah, the weight room thing is huge, man. Like, we have a great weight room up in Portland, so when other guys come in, I'm like, hey, if you want to use it, feel free. And they're like, no, actually, I want to come up and use it. And I'm like, I mean, I don't blame you. It's a great spot. So it's definitely a good advantage to have in your corner.
It is, sure. Especially in some leagues. I mean, it could get pretty difficult.
Exactly.
With the equipment provided by the Giants to have something like that out there.
So you've been in baseball a while now, and I want to know how your previous experiences have helped you to become successful. What lessons have you taken from your previous experiences that help you in your current spot?
So I've been very fortunate to have a lot of great bosses and coworkers and even players to learn from over the past several years, all the way from my time at Marquette up through working with the Giants. And some of the big things that helped me a lot, especially in the beginning, to improve on were becoming more professional with how I carried myself, and especially improving my organizational skills. I've been fortunate to work with a lot of people that were almost OCD in how organized they kept things, and that was one area I had to improve in a lot. So learning from them on notes to keep up with little tasks during the day and whatnot helped me a ton.
Yeah, the organization goes a long way in professional baseball. When the schedule gets crazy, at least if you have your things kind of in line and organized, it helps you that when things do hit the fan, like you're at least okay instead of being all over the place.
So For sure, that schedule could get nuts quick. So
Yeah, things will hit the fan. And I mean, I don't know how the weather is out in the Cal League during the season, but up in the Eastern League, we get snow and we get rain and we get cold, and the schedule changes very fast. So being organized helps a lot.
Oh, yeah. And the Cal League, we're pretty fortunate, too. I mean, it's pretty nice weather, especially San Jose. Perfect game time weather.
I envy you.
Yeah, we're definitely very lucky. It's usually high 70s, 80s during game time. I mean, can't get much better than that.
We have like a little window during the year where it gets like that, but for the most part, it's it's usually cold or windy or rainy or all of the above. So what do you think makes a strength and conditioning coach successful, maybe in general first and then more specifically in professional baseball?
Gotcha. So to be successful, I think there's a few things. Being able to teach, I'd say it was number one, it'd be huge just to be able to cue and to help guys learn without over-teaching them at times and making sure that they're comprehending what you're saying. I'd say another big one is having a growth mindset with our field and just constantly evolving, learning from other coaches, going to conferences, and adapting what you want to do into your style of coaching. And then another big one is just utilizing all the information that we get, whether it be testing, what we see in the weight room, science, all of it, and combining to give them the best program they could get individually.
Yeah, right on, man. All very good points. And I'm right there with you. Maybe specifically in professional baseball, any like secrets that you want to share that help you be successful, specifically to pro ball?
Specifically to pro ball, I think one big advantage that we have compared to a lot of different settings is just the amount of time we get to spend with the players. So just getting to learn them, their background, where they come from, what motivates them, I think is a huge specific to professional baseball or professional sports in general compared to settings where they get to see the guys or girls for an hour or two a day.
Yeah, that's so true. The amount of time we spend with the guys in season is just insane. And so whether you want to or not, you get to learn like who they are on a very, very personal basis. And so you might as well just, you know, use it to your advantage and help you communicate better with the players.
For sure. Yeah, lots of time around those guys.
So much. So what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
I'd say I had to think about this one a little bit, but last year I took the certification for RPR, the Reflexive Performance Reset, and I mean, that one, it looks kind of strange on the side if people haven't seen it or haven't been exposed to it yet, just with like different things like the nut chops before and just mashing in the back of my skull trying to get the glutes activated. But I think it's honestly one of the most efficient warm-ups I've ever been exposed to, and I do it every day. It's cut down on my warm-up time a ton, so I thought that's been an awesome tool to have in my bag. And it looks kind of crazy at times, but it works, and the science I know behind it isn't completely established yet, but
yeah, you had me at cutting down warm-up time. I hate spending time warming up for my own lifts, and usually when I cut that out is when I end up hurting myself or having nagging injury. So double-edged sword there, but I am definitely interested in it, and it is something that is kind of starting to come up more frequently. I've had a few conversations with people. Personally, I'm just not a big touch guy, so it's kind of hard for me to like get through that barrier to do that stuff. But it is something that is of value to know, because guys are going to know about it and they're going to have questions about it, so you might as well educate yourself on it.
For sure. I agree on the touching thing, too. I try to have them do it to themselves, just so I'm not doing the personally touching them on it.
See, I'm one of the people that doesn't like to be touched. So if you came up to me and you're like, hey, try this, I want to show you, I'm like, eh, don't touch me.
I can understand that. I just start off with the nut chops. That one's easy enough to begin with, and then and then go from there.
I hear you. Advice for others in the field, maybe some young coaches who are trying to get in, or even other coaches who have been around for a while who just want to stay on top of things. What advice do you have?
Okay, for sure. A few of the big ones for me is learning from your mistakes. They're going to happen. Just carry on, learn from them, and move on. Be on time is a big one. Learn from that in the past the hard way. So be on time is a huge one. Take advantage of that. Practice Spanish is a big one in our field. Practice it as much as you can. There's all kinds of free tools. Practice speaking with people, anyone you meet. Just talk on a regular basis with them, and you'll be able to communicate pretty efficiently in it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I had a conversation with some other coaches this morning, and they're like, oh, what's a big challenge in professional baseball? And I was like, the Spanish. Like, you're going to learn it eventually. Like, you're going to be around enough players that speak it that you'll pick up some things, but if you go out of your own way and study it yourself away from the stadium, it really does create kind of a little bit of buy-in from them, because they're like, oh, this guy actually cares enough to want to communicate with us. And it's not going to be perfect and you're not going to be fluent, but you're going to be able to get your point across. And the way the guys look at you when they're like, oh my God, this guy speaks Spanish. Like, I actually really like this guy. Like, it's totally cool. Like, they look at you in a different light than what they normally would. So very good advice, especially for professional baseball.
For sure. Yeah. It's cool catching some guys by surprise with some words that you'll know. And sometimes they'll be like, okay, I get it. And you're trying to describe something in two sentences that should take a few words to say in Spanish.
Yeah. So I told one guy a couple years back in spring training that I was going to learn Spanish just so that I could understand all the shit that he was talking about me. And I came back the next year and I understood what he was saying. And I was like, ah, I know what you said. And he's like, oh, I forgot you told me you were going to do that.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah, we talk a little bit about learning and a growth mindset. Where are you going for continuing ed? Are you reading books? Are you attending seminars? Are you listening to podcasts? Where are you going for your own continuing ed?
A lot of my continuing ed I'll get from seminars, classes, or conferences. A few of them I took in the past include the SFMA course, the RPR that we talked about earlier. This year I'm going to take the TPI, swing analysis course, and then early next year I plan on the PRI for fitness. And then usually I try to rotate every year either for the NSCA coaches conference or the winter meetings for our sports science field.
Yeah, you guys have a conference in January, right, in San Francisco, or is that a different one than what you're talking about?
I was talking like the coaches, like the NSCA coaches conference is one that I'll try to go to, and then
just like regular baseball winter meetings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Baseball winter meetings. Yeah.
Okay, because I've received emails in the past for like a San Francisco Giants sports science conference or something up in San Francisco, but I've never been able to go just because I live on the East Coast until this year in Phoenix. But I'll be in winter meetings this year. So, are you going to be there this year? You going to Vegas?
I'm thinking about it. It's a short drive from Arizona, so
yeah, it's not. It's not bad.
It'll
be interesting.
I know we did like an in-service too last year. I don't know if they changed it from San Francisco to Arizona, but before spring training, we did it in-service as a group, and then we'll do the same thing this year.
Gotcha.
Which is pretty. Yeah.
I got you. Seminars are good for learning, man. You meet a lot of people there, and you hear a lot of things, and it's different than a podcast. Like, if you listen to a podcast and you have a question about something, you can't really ask, but if you listen to a conference speaker, when they're done, if you have a question, you can just go up and ask them. So that's like a super valuable part of going to conferences.
For sure. And everyone I've met has always been super open to questions and cool and approachable. So I've enjoyed those a lot.
For sure. So I want to do a little lightning round with you. What do you got? You got time for me?
Yeah, all right. I'm in. Let's see what we got.
All right. First question. Who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
My biggest influence, that's a tough question. Biggest influence, I'd say at Florida, co-worker Dan Schaefer, and he ended up becoming the head at Florida State for a time, and I know now he's doing his doctorate at Wisconsin, but just how fresh my mind was at the time, he was probably the biggest influence in how I learned and coached.
I got you. One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
I have to go pretty standard with a barbell for some deadlifts.
Deadlift is a king, man. Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Biggest accomplishment, I would say it was pretty cool winning a championship my second year out in minor league baseball and seeing guys continue their stay physically well and continue their strength gains through the season and win a championship. That was probably my favorite.
Last one, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
What would I choose? That's a tough question. Possibly finance. I got a pretty good mind for math, and I think I could go into some stocks and whatnot and learn from that pretty quickly.
Finance, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, my man. Well, if the listeners want to get in touch with you, they want to learn more from you, where can we get more information from you? Are you on social media, or is there a better place to reach out?
I'm pretty limited in my social media aspect. I have a Facebook that I barely go on, but I do go on there to accept messages and friend requests. I just don't really post much. My picture is actually 8 years old on there. And then that's about the only social media I have, but I can also post my phone number if anyone ever wants to send a text or call, 708-705-1358. That'd probably be the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. Short and sweet, but a lot of good stuff on here, and we'll be talking soon.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Mark. I hope you enjoyed this one. It's really good to hear a story about what has made him successful in the past, and hopefully you can take some of those points and apply them to your own work. Three things that I took from Mark: have a growth mindset, learn about players personally, and learn from your mistakes. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.